Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 and Romans chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and Romans chapter 2. We're studying the issue of the two trees in the book of Genesis. We began that study last week. We talked about what the tree of life was. What are the two trees? We talked about what the tree of life was. We started talking about what is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And remember, we started talking about what it was that Adam and Eve knew. And as you think about Adam and Eve partaking of a tree of knowledge of good and evil, did that mean that Adam and Eve had no knowledge of anything good or of anything evil before they partook of the tree? What exactly did this tree do? What exactly did it invoke in Adam and Eve? And so we talked about how Adam and Eve were not ignorant, right? Because God had brought the animals to Adam and had Adam name them. And so Adam, when he named the animals, did he just make up something in his mind? You know, did he just mumble and something came out? No, Adam looked at the animals, looked at their character, what it was they were doing, and named them. We also saw that God, before they partook of the tree, God gave them a commandment to not partake of the tree. And so if God gave them a commandment, what did God expect out of them? That they would have enough common sense to obey Him, that they would know what they should do. And so not only did God give them the commandment, but after they broke the commandment, God held them accountable for their decision. So they would have had to have known something before they partook of the tree. My only point here is to say that they weren't completely ignorant, having no knowledge of good and evil before partaking of it. And so God held them accountable because they knew they should not have done what they did. They knew God, therefore they knew good. Before they partook of the tree, they knew God. God is good. They would have a knowledge of what good is. And if they would not have partaken of the tree, did Eve have the ability to not partake of the tree? Yes. If she would have withstood Satan and not partook of the tree, she would have had a knowledge of what evil was without eating of the tree, right? Because she would have seen Satan, a temptation, a lie. Just like there were angels who did not go with Satan in Satan's rebellion, those angels didn't rebel, but they have a knowledge of what good is and what evil is, and they didn't partake of the tree. Because they know God, they know good, they know Satan, and they knew he rebelled, and they chose not to do it. And they see that, and so therefore they know evil. So my point is that Adam and Eve knew some did not go with Satan in Satan's rebellion. Those angels didn't rebel, but they have a knowledge of what good is and what evil. My hope is to really get into it tonight, where what they had not done is they had not partaken of the law. And so my point to you as we go through this is that the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents the law. And so they had not partaken of that yet. So I asked you to get Genesis chapter 2 and Romans chapter 2, and then the semi-truck kind of threw me off in the background. Genesis chapter 2, we'll look at our verse here just to springboard us into Romans chapter 2. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9. In the garden it says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And so when we talk about the issue of what it is that Adam and Eve knew before they partook of the tree, one additional point that I wanted to make to you and why I asked you to get Romans chapter 2 is that God created man in His image. And therefore, man being created in the image of God had a conscience. And Romans chapter 2 tells us this. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. So what Paul says here is that the law is written in their hearts. Their conscience bears witness. And so, therefore, when we're talking about what it was that Adam and Eve knew, the whole issue of a conscience. Stealing was wrong even before God gave the Mosaic Law. And there's examples from this in Scripture. So we have before God gave the law to Moses that says, thou shalt not steal, we have people being held accountable for their actions. Kidnapping was wrong before the law was given. Homosexuality was wrong before the law was given. Adultery was wrong before the law was given. Murder was wrong before the law was given. Cain slew his brother Abel. And yet, God had not given a law yet that says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. But what did God do to Cain? He held him accountable, right? Why? Because Cain had a conscience. Cain knew that it was wrong. He had a knowledge of that. And so there was accountability. Things were still wrong, even though the law had not yet been given through Moses. And the Gentiles were never given the Mosaic Law, but they had the law written in their hearts. They had a conscience. And so man was created with a moral conscience. Man was created in the image of God. And they would have known that it was wrong for them to murder someone without God telling Adam, thou shalt not kill. And so why was the law given? The Scripture says that the law was given to make sin exceeding sinful, as men's conscience began to be hardened over time. Right? Because back in Genesis, every man became very wicked. They all did what was right in their own eyes. And their conscience became hardened against God. And so God gave the law to make sin exceeding sinful. And so Adam and Eve partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was not the first time that they knew moral truth between right and wrong. Rather, it is the first time they stepped away from God and did something their way in opposition to God. They had experiential knowledge of sin because they partook of the law and the law slew them. What I mean by that, is that what did God say? God commanded the man, saying, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, what did they do? God told them to do something. Here's God's way. Here's life. Here's the tree of life. Do things God's way. They stepped out, and what did they do? They did something their own way, in opposition to God, and they broke the commandment and transgressed. They partook of the law and transgressed it. Now, I want to talk about the issue here of the tree and the law and get into it a little bit more. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Keep your hand in Romans because we're going to go back and forth between Genesis and Romans. Genesis chapter 2. And so what we're going to talk about here is how the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents the law. And I just want you to read the verses here where God gives Adam the commandment. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What did verse 16 say that God did? God commanded. God gave a commandment to Adam, who was then supposed to tell Eve as the covering. Well, the first point that I want to make here, and we're actually going to work our way backwards. The tree represents the law. What does the law bring? The law points out your sin. And by transgressing the law is sin. And what does sin bring? Death. And so what happened when they partook of the tree? In the day you eat of it, ye shall surely die. So the first thing I want to point out is how do we get from... I just want to point this out, that we see that death comes by sin. So you have Romans, you have your hand in Romans. Romans chapter 5. Death came by sin. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who is that one man? That's Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why is it that Adam died when he ate of the tree? Romans 5:12 tells you that sin entered the world through Adam, and death by sin. In order to sin, what do you have to have a knowledge of? You have to transgress the law. So, death came by sin, and sin entered by Adam, and the law brings sin, and Adam partook of the tree. Now, the next point I want to make is that how do you have a knowledge of sin? Well, Scripture tells us by the law is the knowledge of sin. So Romans chapter 3, and look at verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. After Adam and Eve partook of the tree, they had a knowledge of sin. Because what happened after they partook of the tree when God comes down to the garden? What did they do? They hid. Why did they hide? They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they knew they had sinned. So, there is a partaking that by the law is the knowledge of sin. Adam and Eve partaking of the tree, breaking the commandment, partaking of the law, brought the knowledge of sin. Now, I want to show you one thing. Hold your hand here in Romans, because like I said, we'll keep coming back to Romans all night. So even if I tell you to go somewhere else, always keep a hand in Romans. Go over to Leviticus chapter number 4. Leviticus chapter number 4. We're talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We're talking about by the law is the knowledge of sin. And in Leviticus chapter number 4, look at verse number 23. By the way, what is the book of Leviticus is dealing with the Levitical priesthood, right? It's dealing with the law, how the priesthood is to be set up. And so here in Leviticus chapter number 4, verse number 23, it says, verse number 22, and we don't have time to get the context for all of the verses that we're going to go to, but we're talking here about someone who has sinned or has done something out of ignorance. But in verse number 23, it says, or if his sin, wherein he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. Notice there it's talking about if the sin comes to his knowledge. Now look down at verse number 28, a similar verse. Or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. So he has to bring an offering if the sin comes to his knowledge. The knowledge of sin is the law. So if they have knowledge that they've transgressed the law, and the sin comes to their knowledge, then they have to do these certain things in the law. They have to come and offer a sacrifice and things of that nature. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 3. Right now, we're still talking about the correlation between sin and the law. And if you look at 1 John chapter number 3, look at verse number 4. It says, whosoever committeth sin... Did Adam and Eve sinned when they partook of the tree? Yes or no? Do we have a consensus in the audience? Romans says, for by one man sin entered into the world, right? And that sin entered in at the tree. Did Adam and Eve sin by partaking of the tree? Yes, they did. 1 John 3, 4, whosoever committeth sin, did Adam and Eve commit sin? Yes, they did. Transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. What did Adam and Eve do? They sinned. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Adam and Eve transgressed the law. Look back at Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. If there was no law there, there would have been no transgression. But there was transgression, there was sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed the commandment that was given to them by partaking of the law. So when they partook of the law, was it that the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was some special fruit that had some type of poison in it? That God said, you know, just don't partake of that tree because I made one tree that was kind of bad and it's got some poison pills in it. That's not the reason why he told them not to partake of it. Now, to get into the reasons of why God said, don't eat of it. That's a study for another night, which we will get to. Okay? But understand that when God told them not to do it, it was a commandment. It wasn't that the tree was harmful for them. It was, obey me. Partake of me and my way. And when they chose to step out and do something their own way, what is that? That's their own works. Right? What is the law? You're breaking the law. The law is righteous. They move away from God's way and they move into their own way. It's their own works. We talked about that verse over in the book of Proverbs, which is where it talks about the fruit of your own works. The fruit of your own way. And so, the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. So now I want to do a few verses now where we see the correlation between the law and the tree. We're going to read a few verses about that, where I'm saying that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is the law. We're going to read a few verses, and then... Yeah, sorry, I forgot to click that one. we're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to look at a comparison between the tree and the law. But first, let's just read a few verses. Get Isaiah chapter 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7 and Deuteronomy 1. The tree of knowledge of good and evil represents the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, or knowing good and evil. And so what I'm proposing to you is that knowing good and evil is the knowledge of the law and the knowledge of sin. Isaiah chapter 7, look at verse number 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before, and this is you know, when you look at the context of what's going on here in Isaiah chapter 7, it's talking about, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know that verse, right? So we're reading the next verses right after that, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. You can see this in other prophets about the forsaking of evil and good, or the knowledge of good and evil. And so, if you look, you know, in Hosea chapter 4, you don't have to turn it there, but I'll read it. I copied it down. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." And then it goes on to say, "I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." So he's saying they've rejected knowledge and they've rejected the law. He's equating knowledge with the law. There's a rejection of knowledge, and then he goes on to say, "For thou hast forgotten the law." Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I ask you to have your finger there. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 39. I think I covered this verse when we ended last week. And again, we're talking about the correlation between the law and the tree, the correlation between the law and knowledge of good and evil. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 39. This is when they were going to go into the land. It says, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." So I think I brought this verse up when we ended last week, and I said, these were, Israel's in the wilderness. God said God had a land for them, the promised land for Israel. And what happened to Israel while they were wandering in the wilderness? They were in unbelief towards God, weren't they? And so God says they fell in unbelief. And what God did was he gave the land to their children. But you notice why he says that he gave it to their children? He said they had no knowledge between good and evil. Why would he say that their children had no knowledge of good and evil? Was it because their children were ignorant? And I think I brought up the point, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You know, when you have a child who's like 2 years old, as soon as they're pretty much able to walk around, they'll go over and put their finger on the lamp, right? Because you say, "Don't touch that lamp." And then they go over and they put their finger on it and they smile at you to see if they're going to get in trouble. They know that they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Does that mean that they have knowledge of good and evil at that point? No. See, the children who got to partake of the land, it wasn't the children who were like 2 years old and younger. Okay? The issue there is that there was an age of the children who were not yet accountable to the law. They had no knowledge of good and evil. They were not yet guilty under the law as the rest of Israel did, who died in unbelief. So that younger generation got to enter in because they were not yet accountable to it. Look at chapter number 30 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I just want you to see these verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. What were the two trees? The tree of life. I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments. How did he set good and evil before Israel? He set before them his commandments and told them to keep it. And his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So God set the law before Israel, just as he set the law before Adam and Eve. It was a choice. Good, life, God's way, death, evil, your own way. And so if Israel didn't keep the commandments, what was that? Sin. If they transgressed the commandment, Israel sinned. And in these verses, the law is equated with knowledge of good and evil. And we'll see that in other verses too as we look at a comparison between the tree and the law. And so, I know we don't have much time left this evening, but I think it would be good if we just started into the comparison between the tree and the law, and we'll definitely be able to finish it up next week. So I have 10 or 11 points on this comparison between the tree and the law, and all we're going to do is look at a verse here and a verse there to compare what's said about the law and the tree. And as we do this comparison between the tree and the law, really what we're going to do is we're going to take a walk through Romans chapter number 7. We're just going to walk through Romans chapter 7, see what Paul says about the law, and compare it to what's said about the tree. All right, so go ahead and get Romans chapter 7. How many of you ever read Romans chapter 7 and thought about the tree? To me, the similarities are a bit, let's just say it's not a coincidence. So the first point that I want you to see is that in Romans chapter 7, sin comes by the law. And sin came by partaking of the tree. So we see the similarities between the two. Romans chapter number 7, look at verse number 5. It says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law." Remember I said here, sin comes by the law, and we looked at the verses that covered that. So he says here, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Isn't that an interesting way to put it? We're going to bring forth fruit. Well, what else do you know that bears fruit? Trees bear fruit. And so you've got Romans 7. You may have to turn the page. You may not have to turn the page. Romans chapter 5, and look at verse number 12. The verse, I think, that we looked at earlier, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered." So Romans chapter 7, verse 5 says, "The motions of sins which were by the law." And Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." So sin came by the law. Sin comes by the law, Romans 7:5. And sin came by partaking of the tree, Romans 5:12. The second point is that sin came by the law, and law brought forth fruit unto death. That's what Romans 7:5 says. When you partake of the law, it brings forth fruit unto death. You know, we talk about fruit, and we talk about whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he reaps. And so you can't have an apple tree and expect lemons, right? That's not the way that it works. And so therefore, when you sin, what is the fruit of sin? Death. What is the fruit of righteousness? Life. And so that's why I said, when we were talking about the tree, that it wasn't that the tree was a poison fruit that God said don't partake of it. What did the tree represent? It was the transgression of the law. Now, when I say that, please don't misunderstand. I believe that the Bible is literal. I believe it was a literal tree that had literal fruit. But when they partook of the tree, what was it that brought about the death? Are we just talking about a tree that had poisonous fruit? No. We're talking about the same issue that man has been dealing with ever since the garden. That I've now partaken of the law, and it's brought about sin, and I have died because of sin. And ever since the garden, and ever since Adam partook of the tree, we've been dealing with the issue of man trying to do it on his own, by his own works, by the works of the law, trying to perform in the flesh to get some type of righteousness of his own standing, yet all that does is bring about sin unto death. So my point being, and I don't mind spoiling the end, you know, and just telling you like where we're moving towards in this study. But where we're moving towards in this study is the understanding that this issue of the tree is the thing that's plagued man ever since the beginning. When we read Paul's epistles, we're a dispensational church. We believe that unto Paul was committed the dispensation of grace. And there's the gospel of the grace of God, how that God saves you apart from your works. But yet, what does man do? We read in 1 Timothy where Paul warns Timothy to preach no other doctrine. And in that same chapter, when they preach another doctrine, what does it say that they go and start teaching? They go and start teaching the law. Why is that? It appeals to men's flesh to think that I can do something, right? I feel good about myself when I'm able to do it. And so what Adam did from the very beginning, God says, here's the tree of life that you can partake of freely. And if you want an out, Adam, don't partake of that tree. And Adam should have known when Satan comes and he says, he shall not surely die. And he starts tempting them. And Eve looked at it and it looks really good, right? And so they partook of doing something their own way. That's that verse back in Proverbs, is it chapter 1, verse number 24? Let me see if I can find it in my notes here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 29 says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way." And so exactly what Adam and Eve did in the beginning is the same thing that man has been doing ever since, is their own way. their own way. And when they do that and they partake of the law, it bears fruit. It's man's righteousness. It's man's works, which is no good. Which is no good. Let's maybe cover one more point. So I said that the law brought forth fruit unto death. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. That's the fruit of partaking of your own way. And in the Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, that's the verse that says, in the day that thou eatest thou of, thou shalt surely die. The third point, we'll make this point and then we'll end, is that, and this is a big point, so maybe it's not a good one to end on, and I'll have to remind you when we start next week. The law is a ministration of death. And what is the tree? The tree has a ministry of death. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Is it 3 or 5? It would first help if I would go in the right direction. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're reading the board, it says 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 is what we want. 2 Corinthians 3, 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. What was written and engraven in stones? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written and engraven in stones, given to Moses to give to Israel. You have the law was written and engraven in stones. And what it tells you the law is, it says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the law. The law is a ministration of death. It says, if it was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Why was the law a ministration of death? First of all, was the law good? It certainly was, wasn't it? It was righteous. The law is good. But why is the law a ministration of death? Because the moment you partake of it, it slays you. And that's why I'm fond of citing, I want to say Paul Bunyan all the time, but Pilgrim's Progress, I always want to say Paul Bunyan. But when he describes Moses in that book, Moses comes along and just knocks him out, punches him and knocks him out. And he's like, oh, who was that guy? Oh, that must have been Moses. Because the law beats you down. The law is a ministration of death. And so the tree as well, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, the same verse, we don't have to go there. Genesis 2:17 is the verse that says, in the day that thou eatest thou thereof, thou shalt surely die. What is the fruit of the tree? What is the ministration of the tree? It's a ministration of death. If you partake of it, what are you going to do? You're going to die. If you partake of the law, what's the fruit of it? What are you going to do? You're going to die. Therefore, you need an antidote. What's the antidote? The Lord Jesus Christ. Man had a problem because he partook of the tree, and the fruit of the tree is death. So the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he dies on the cross, and by his blood, your sins are forgiven. And now it says that you have access to life. Not death. Not the fruit of the tree, but the fruit of righteousness, which is by Jesus Christ. And so the question is, which do you want to partake of? Adam and Eve made a mistake in the beginning. They chose poorly. And therefore, sin has come upon all men. But God is a gracious God. He's a loving God. And he gives you the ability if you want out. And he says, here's my son. And if you partake of him, you have life. And you have life everlasting. That tree of knowledge of good and evil has no more effect on you if you've partaken of his son and if you've trusted in the gospel. How that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And what do they call, what does the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, call the resurrected Christ? The first fruits from the dead. The fruit of righteousness. You know, you still have the question today that you have to deal with. Which tree will you partake of? The tree of life or the tree of death? You have two options, just as Adam and Eve did. It's been the same issue throughout all of mankind. Which tree will you partake of? So I hope if you haven't partaken of the tree of life, maybe that's the wrong thing to say because the tree of life is a literal tree. If you haven't partaken of Christ's righteousness and trusted on him to save you from your sins, and you're hearing this, I implore you to do so. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your this day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for what we're able to glean from it. Lord, we are able to learn from the mistake of our ancestors as we all go back to through Noah and through Adam. And Lord, may we learn from that. And you're hearing this, I implore you to do so. Let's close in a word of prayer. Of our own volition, may we trust you and do things your way. And may we trust your Son and have life in him. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.